welcome to today's episode of the Voices of Legacy. Today, we're honored to have Private Sheldon Collins, future commandant of the Toledo Fire Department and Rescue Department. He's an information officer committed to safeguarding our community and providing essential updates in times of need. Let's learn more about the invaluable work Private Collins does to keep Toledo safe with information and safety. Good morning, Private Collins. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Is it Private Collins or should I say just Mr. Collins or Sheldon?
I'm a private, but my official title is Public Information Officer. But okay. I am Private Collins.
Oh, okay. Private Collins.
Yes.
Sounds so official. Private Collins serves as Information Officer for Toledo Fire and Rescue Department with a passion for public safety and communications. Private Collins plays a vital role in connecting the community with timely and accurate information. His dedication, hyping you up, sir.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. It sounds good.
His dedication to his work helps ensure Toledo's residents' safety with information. Information truly is key. What portion of information helps you to make us safe with fire and rescue?
Anything that has to do with safety, we kind of focus on the community. Mm-hmm. First, it's, we deal with fires.
Yeah.
We deal with EMS. We mm-hmm. deal with hazmat situations. We deal with high angle rescues mm-hmm. and water rescues. Anything that that has an issue out there in the public that we mm-hmm. can deal with, we will deal with it. We will go out and work hard and do what we got to do to keep the community safe.
Gotcha. Not to jump into controversy, but what do you think is some of the biggest misunderstandings with the responsibility of Toledo Fire and Rescue?
The biggest misunderstandings?
From the public perspective,
yes.
to you guys.
Some of them didn't know that we are on the ambulances also.
No.
They didn't know that we were firefighters and EMTs and paramedics. You have to be that, a full-time firefighter, EMT, paramedic, to be on the department.
Hmm.
So when people would see us on the medic units, sometimes they would wonder why we would be there, or they would see us on the fire engine. They would call for a medical. Hmm. We'd show up in the fire engine, and they would say, no, we didn't call for you. We called for an ambulance. And we have to explain that we're actually the same.
I guess a kind of funny bit of information. As a child, I never figured out that paramedics actually meant two medics. You just think paramedics, that's just a name, but it actually means two, right?
For us, it's just one.
Yeah, okay.
Like for the paramedic, that's one person, okay. And an EMT is the other person.
Oh, wow.
Now we just switched over to the ALS-BLS system. Mm-hmm. To where every red rig, or even the white ones, since we're converting them over mm-hmm. to red, to our colors, mm-hmm. you have at least one paramedic and one EMT on that. And on every rig, on every engine, every truck, every squad that we have, every rig that we have, you will have at least one paramedic on there.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yes.
And I can understand the confusion because I was in law enforcement down in Charlotte, North Carolina,
okay.
for many years. As a matter of fact, that's what retired me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to retire.
Right.
But nevertheless, there, it's the paramedics or EMTs, it's a private company
yeah.
that's contracted by Mecklenburg County.
Okay.
Where here in Lucas County, I'm assuming as you've explained,
mm-hmm.
it's all one entity.
Yes. Yes. We're all one. We're all in the stations, the ambulances, the fire rigs, the trucks, the squads. We're all in one station. Hmm. Yes.
Has that always been the case?
At first in the beginning, it was just in the beginning of the history of the fire department, mm-hmm. it was just fire. And then they eventually moved on to EMS. And then in 2007, around that time, is where we got the ambulances. And since then, it's been both.
So, Private Collins, how long have you been with Toledo Fire?
It'll be 14 years in January.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Well, 14 years.
I said before we were on the air, but you're a relatively young fella then.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm on the department, I'm called old. Every time.
You're OG, triple OG?
Yeah. Yes. Everyone calls me that since I was like one of the oldest in our class.
Oh, wow.
I was the second oldest in our class and in 2011.
So and what's the average age of someone coming in?
It could be around, I would say around 25, somewhere in that area. We hire at 18, as long as you got a GED or high school diploma.
Okay.
Yes.
How's your recruitment going?
Oh, it's going pretty good right now. Actually, you mentioned that recruitment started for this hiring class for next year. Mm-hmm. It started in August 22nd and it ends November 22nd.
Okay.
So right now, our CERP team is out there, which is community outreach, mm-hmm. employment engagement, recruitment, and public education. Mm-hmm. They go out to see people and do events and mm-hmm. trying to get people to come in for recruitment and different mm-hmm. stuff like that. And they will come meet them at the station to learn more about them.
Gotcha. So what's some of the things that would attract someone to want to serve in this capacity?
You have to have the love for people.
Ah.
You have to have the love for community.
A variety of people.
Yes, a variety of people. Definitely. Our fire department is well diverse, which we've tried to reflect the city mm-hmm. on how the city of Toledo is, and mm-hmm. that's how we try to be. Mm-hmm. So we serve everyone, and you just have to have that passion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I graduated from Bowling Green State University in 2000, and I became a social worker. Mm. I graduated with graphic design, but a minor in social work. But for some reason, I ended up being just helping people. Mm-hmm. But I do design on the side, but uh-huh. I just end up helping people. Mm-hmm. And I love that. That's gotcha. That's what I love.
See, you messed up.
How's that?
A Ziggy Zuma.
Oh. I Ziggy Zumba. Yes,
there
you're right.
You.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So you came from so you're a local guy, period.
Yes, I was born and raised here in Toledo. I went to public schools my entire life. And then high school, I went to Central Catholic.
Okay.
And from there, then, of course, went to play football for Central. Then, of course, went to Bowling Green.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. What are the primary concerns that you find when you're consulting with residents in regards to fire safety?
Them not understanding what it is. Hmm. You should have smoke alarms in your home. Because actually, 2 years ago on the east side, a family of six was saved at nighttime from the smoke alarms going off. And mm-hmm. they said if they didn't hear it, they would have perished.
Wow.
So smoke alarms is very crucial. Having fire extinguishers is crucial. But we don't want you to sit there and try to fight a fire.
Yeah.
If you see one, you call 911 and we'll come and you get out. Yeah. And once you're out, we don't want you going back in for anything.
Hmm.
Yes.
So if you hear the beep.
Yeah.
that's become somewhat of a cultural thing with all of the Zoom broadcast and the media people create at home. You hear that beep?
Oh, yeah. I hear it all the time. And it gets me. I'm like, oh, you got to change that battery.
Yeah. Well, it's life or death. I mean, we're laughing because it is kind of funny.
Yes.
But life or death, that's right. Not funny. Not
yes.
at all.
Not at all. And you should have one on every floor of your house.
Yeah. 9-volt battery compared to, the alternative.
Right. Yes.
Which is not good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that smoke is very deadly.
Do you offer anything to the public in regards to that? Like free 9-volt batteries for everybody?
We give out free smoke detectors.
Okay.
And our CERP team goes around. Actually, they was in the Junction neighborhood area and they passed out smoke alarms. Oh. 158 of them to 124 homes.
Well, that's a technical yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so I guess with the smoke alarm, hopefully with batteries.
Right. Yeah.
There
yes, the battery comes with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell us about your journey to becoming the information officer? You started as an EMT or did you start as a fireman? Or you said you have to be both.
Right, you have to be both. Well, I was in social work and I was working for a company called Connecting Point, working with kids and then neighborhood properties. Dealing with the Lucas County Minnesota Board.
Public information kind of fit with you.
Yeah, it kind of fit. And I never would have thought that. Never in my wildest dreams would I have thought I would be here in this position. Hmm. When I first came on, my brother is a police officer here in Toledo. Hmm. And he said, oh, you should be a fireman. I said, I'm not running in a burning building. I'm okay. I'm okay right where I'm at.
Have you run into a burning
building? Oh, plenty of them. Okay. Yes, plenty of them.
So you lied to your brother. No, I'm messing with you.
Yes, and he told me, he's like, trust me, you will enjoy it. And this is the best career I've ever had in my life. I can't think of doing anything else more than this.
It sounds like you enjoy helping
people. Oh, yes, I do. And I wasn't anything when I first got on. Like, I didn't have any certifications or anything like that. We had to fill out, do what they're doing now, and then you had to be selected. Once you were selected, you go to the academy, and the academy lasts about 6 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry, 6 months. The first part will be fire. They will teach you everything where you can get your fire one and fire two cards.
Gotcha.
And that will certify you as a firefighter, a state firefighter. But then you have to go through EMT class, which is after that, and then you would get your EMT certification.
How has all of that training and experience affected your private life? Now, I don't want you to get into your private life, but one thing that I can attest to, being in law enforcement previously, it puts a whole different perspective on your situational awareness. As a matter of fact, they beat that into your head. Situational awareness. You're aware of everything at all times, and you kind of, I try to act like I'm not, but I see and hear everything. How has it affected your personal life?
It hasn't really. It's been for the better. Let me put it that way. I've noticed different stuff. Like my sons, they used to sleep upstairs with the doors wide open and everything like that. And I would tell them, hey, you got to close that door at nighttime because if it's a fire, that gives you enough chance to be able to get out the window or give us enough time to be able to get there. And then when I started showing them stuff that can happen during it, and they was like, oh, and then all of a sudden the doors was closing. So me being aware of different stuff like that and being aware, like I would drive down the street and I would see somebody sitting out and it just made me wonder, hey, are they okay?
Yeah.
And because they would just be sitting in hot days or something like that. And I'm like, are they okay? Then you'll see them move and you'll be like, all right. So I'm just aware of just different stuff that when I'm driving, walking, running, doing anything.
I think it's important that we're aware of each other and take care for each other. You don't have to be EMT or police officer to do that.
Nope. Just be a caring person.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
all
you got to be. You just got to care about people.
Yes. What are the main responsibilities of an information officer with Fire and Rescue Department?
It's a lot.
Take your time. You got about 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot. Dealing with the media, building relationships with them, building relationships with everybody in the community, understanding what they need, what the community needs, and what we need internally. So I go back and forth to try to figure out what we can do to help the people in the community and the people, our internal people, who are on the job, who's out there working every day, hard every day. So that part is rough. It's a lot that's coming, but it's coming along. Have to do with the social media. Also have to being able to understand what our vision of our fire department is.
Gotcha.
So I have to work with Chief Allison Armstrong and Chief Danny Brown Martinez real close. And we have to be able to provide for the need of the community.
So you're somewhat of an ambassador.
Basically, a liaison kind of. Jack of all trades.
You enjoy that?
I try to. I love it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I love it. I love it a lot. I always ask, if I do an interview, I always tell them, hey, make me look good. And they all do. And they've all been nice to me, and I appreciate them wholeheartedly.
Well, I can say you haven't cracked yet, so I'm pretty sure that's not hard to do. So, without, I guess, getting into any information that you can't disclose, what has been some of the larger incidents that you've had to handle?
I've been on this job, I mean, in this position, since August 30th.
Oh, wow.
So the biggest one is the hydrogen tanks that happened like 2 weeks ago, somewhere around there. And that's unusual, but it was stressful because we had to keep the community clean.
Calm.
Keep them calm and keep them safe. I got the call to come out, and I was like, uh-oh, this is my first one, the first big one. And I was nervous, and everyone was there. Our people was there, Perrysburg Township, Washington Township, and the news, everything, and everyone was great. Everyone did a great job to be able to keep the community safe. It took 2 days for the hydrogen tanks to cool off and to disperse. So people was going out, I mean, our crews was going out there in rotation for 2 days.
Wow.
Yes.
So that's literally trial by fire.
Yes, basically.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that had to be nerve-wracking.
Yes.
So public service and safety in the community and engagement. What are some of the common misconceptions of what you would assume that the public would have about Toledo Fire and Rescue Department? We kind of covered it a little bit, but
I don't really know really any misconceptions. Everyone just is great to us.
Yeah.
Yes, the whole city.
Yeah.
We go to get our food to eat so we can cook, and everyone is just so nice. And I've never really ran into anybody who had a misconception other than what we're actually doing for them when we show up and different stuff like that. But overall, it
seems like sometimes the badge makes people nervous, no matter what the badge represents.
Yes, they do get nervous sometimes. They will ask, what are you doing, this and that. So we just keep them calm. We talk to them while we're treating them and letting them know everything we're doing step by step so that they can understand what's going on.
Now I got to ask, and this is full disclosure. I've had two cousins serve, both Sherman.
Oh, Eric and James Sherman.
Yep.
Yes.
And I still have one that's still there.
Mister?
Hmm?
Yeah, I could tell you. Yeah. Okay, Antoine Mister. He just got promoted
to
lieutenant on the 27th.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how's your interaction been with them?
Oh, man, it's been great. Well, I've been knowing Eric Sherman and James Sherman since I was a itty-bitty little kid.
He just retired.
Yeah. Okay. And since I was real little. Yeah. So our families go back since, I don't even remember meeting them. That's how long I've been knowing them.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I guess you're part of the family then.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I haven't had them on yet. I've got a commitment. I'm putting it out on the air that at least one of the two.
Okay.
Should definitely come. I've had we go into police and law enforcement as well with my cousin Ova Tate, and he's been here. He's retired as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
At the programs that you have in public safety, what do you enjoy most? Dealing with the young people or dealing with folks our age and older?
It's just a different perspective. Dealing with the young, you can see them grow. You can see the excitement in them. Yeah. You can see everything. And that's what drew me to social work. And before I became a social worker and graduated from Bowling Green, I was working for the Boys and Girls Clubs during the summer. So I've always been around, and I was with the kids, and I was loving being around them and having fun. And you could just see the joy and just hope in their eyes.
Shout out to Boys and Girls Club.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Detroit. I remember when the front of the building was a parking lot.
Yes, yes.
As a matter of fact, my dad owned the building directly in front of it, all of that, all the way from Detroit down to the church.
Oh, okay.
Where the KFC is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember going to that Boys and Girls
Club. Oh, yeah.
Me and my two older brothers would walk or ride our bikes there every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Well, that's great. So you enjoy dealing with the young folks. You kind of answered the question without answering the question. But
I enjoy.
Are people that are older more receptive, or are the young folks more receptive to the information that you share?
I think that part is about equal.
Okay.
Yes. Once they know that you're there for them, then they're receptive for it.
Gotcha.
So that's why we try to go in there with an open mind and not judge anyone and just help whoever needs help.
Yeah, because generally you're just giving information.
Yes,
except that's them, whether they take it or...
That's it. That's all it is.
How has technology impacted your work and the fire department and operations overall?
It's impacted a lot. We have a CAD system, which it's a GPS, which 911, if you call 911, they will relay the information to us. We would get toned out. And we would get directions directly to where that person is at. So it's helped incredibly to be able to get to the people in a quick manner and be able to help them. So that's definitely one part. Our gear, our gear is great. It's rated to about 1,000 degrees, but if it gets that hot, it's you shouldn't even be in there.
Yeah.
So it's a good and bad thing because we can go further in the fire, but we should still mind what's going on while we're in there. If it gets too hot, then we have to back out. But it helps us be able to find people if we need to find them, or find a fire, or do what we got to do while we're going in there.
Yeah, and I've heard some amazing stories. Matter of fact, my cousin, Bishop Eric Sherman, retired.
Yes.
He has a story of falling through the floor of a building. And then a member of our church, Brother Freiser, Greg Freiser, who was with fire department as well, he tells a story of actual steel melting and seeing it. Fire is nothing to play with.
No, it's not. It's definitely it's not. But the training that we get constantly, we train every day at the stations. We train. We train out at Owens. That's where our training bureau is at.
With the tower and everything.
Yes. Because we don't have one in the city, but we would like to have one in the city, a training facility in the city. But we hope that will come along soon. We hope so.
Yeah.
But we still get the training that we do. We do high, like I said before, high angle. We have a Bureau of Special Ops who goes out and floor plans, and then they will be there for emergencies like the accidents that was on the turnpikes and different stuff like that. They would get called out for that. So we train constantly. I just feel good about how well we are trained in the, under the department.
Do you have access? I mean, I guess this is a random question. Do you have access to floor plans for buildings when you go into them, or how hard is it?
If they have them, yes. Every Thursday, we usually go out and to different places that's in that district. That fire station will go out there and we'll go and look. Actually, one on, they just was looked at Pepsi, I think it was, this week or last week. They would go in there and look at the floor plan, talk to the people that's there, find out what the emergency exits are, find out everything, and then we'll come up with a plan for when we get there, how to execute it.
So it's good if people would cooperate with
you
when you come
out
to do your fire inspections.
Yeah, it's definitely good.
It's helpful.
Yes.
And that's annual for most commercial buildings, isn't it?
We do that weekly.
Weekly?
Ours is, yes.
Wow.
Like, we'll go out, like, crews will go out one day and be like, hey, we're about to go to this location and get a floor plan, see what it's like. Apartment buildings, we'll go there, even elderly ones, especially because it'll be kind of hard for them to get out. And we will figure out how to get them out if something was to happen.
That's good.
Yes.
Well, so it's good for folks to actually be cooperative when you come out. I've heard stories of people not being so cooperative.
Yeah.
When the fire inspector comes out to their business or what have you. And we, our family, again, full disclosure, we have a building on Collingwood, the historic Bible Way Temple, the Jewish, across from Scott High School. And I'm always cooperative. I want to hear what you have to say.
Right.
Please let me know if there's something I have to change, because that building's over 100 years old.
Yeah, it's a nice building.
Yeah,
it
and,
is.
And we want to hear and and know how to comply, not fight. Complying. One last question, and it just comes to me. The what do you call it? Not shortwave radio, but the emergency radio or whatnot people listen to?
The scanners.
Scanners, yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for helping the host.
Yeah.
Does that help you, or that people listen to those scanners?
Oh, yes. People definitely listen to those scanners.
Oh, I know they listen.
Oh, yes.
And is the information limited? Do you disclose everything over the...
No. We have our own channels for if we needed to get information out to, like, the hospitals. When we pick up patients in an ambulance or something like that, we would go ahead and switch to a different channels that no one can get to.
Gotcha.
So it keeps the HIPAA together so that no one will be able to figure out somebody else's information.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Gotcha. So you pretty much do the same thing that we did in law enforcement.
Yes, basically. Yes.
Yeah. People ask that question.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, yeah, no.
Oh, yeah. 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 People listen to the scanners a lot.
Yeah. Well, I am so appreciative for you coming and sharing all this information today. I think it's going to be helpful. I know it will be. But the final question, I kind of prepped you for this one. What do you think your legacy with both your social work that you mentioned as well as with public safety, what do you think your legacy currently is, and what would you like for it to be?
I think my legacy right now is that people know I care. People know I would do the best I can to help people. I would try to go out my way to help you. no matter what it is, help whoever. I just want people to be safe. I want people to enjoy life. Mm-hmm. I want people to be able to do the things that they want to do. Mm-hmm. And my legacy, when I'm out of here, I want people to say he loved God, he loved his wife and kids, and he loved people.
Awesome.
That's my
awesome.
Three, yes.
Good answer, good answer.
And if you don't mind, can I say hi to my wife, Chandra Collins, and my sons, Jamal and Jackson. Love y'all.
All right. Two boys.
Yes, two boys. One is 30 years old and one will be 21 on the 25th of this month.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
I would have never guessed. You look so young.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. See, now I hope the whole department can hear that and stop calling me old man.
You heard it first here.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Private Shelton.
Yes, sir.
Public Information Officer for Toledo Fire and Rescue. We greatly appreciate your service to the community and all those that serve Toledo and Lucas County.
Thank you for having me, and I was honored to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.